So I ran into a customer the other day in the showroom. He's a regular radio show listener. And he said, Lenny, your 26-minute radio show is my favorite 26-minute radio show about cars. And I said, isn't it the only 26-minute radio show about cars? Exactly. So I don't know. Was that a compliment? I think it was. I think the reason he is in my showroom is because of the radio show. That's happened a lot over the years, and I'm very grateful. You know, it's hard for a car guy like me to get any credibility once somebody finds out you're a car dealer. You know, because dealers, I think you would agree, don't have the best reputation. Maybe the dealers do, but, you know, some of their people may not. You know, salespeople and some service people and so forth. And that's, in many cases, unfortunately, well-deserved. They have earned that reputation, and so my job is to, you know, give you some tools and tricks and so forth that you can use to win the battle when it comes to automotive service, when it comes to buying a car. I don't know which one people have the most problem with. I guess buying a car. It's been really different, like I say, in the last couple of years because the demand has been much higher than the supply. And what that has done is kind of created what a lot of buyers wanted. No negotiation. You know, the price is what it is. Folks said that they wanted to be able to go and buy cars like they go to Walmart and buy a big flat screen TV. No negotiation at Walmart. They'll just look at you funny. So that's what we do here on this radio show. Again, this is Lenny Lawson. I am your connection to a better car life. At least I want to be. My hotline number, also my cell phone number, is 423-552-2020. Give me a call if you have a question. Got a few questions over the weekend, and we'll be jumping into that. One was about options on cars that I think are critical options that you should have when you buy a car. And so, you know, I'm just going to give you my top 10 list of my favorite options on cars, okay? And some of these things are standard on a lot of modern vehicles. Some are not. Some are being replaced by the smartphone. In some circumstances, they're being replaced with nothing because they can't get the computer chips to make that a feature of the car. So we have a lot of features on vehicles that we have ordered for folks that those features are being canceled, and it's a little bit disturbing, I guess. We call the customers and say, oh by the way, you're not going to be able to get this particular feature on your car. Well, I really wanted that. I get it, but they can't build it that way, and they're refusing to build your vehicle the way you want it. Okay, take it off, or they'll say, nah, forget it. I'll give me my deposit back. You didn't pay a deposit. You don't have to again. Oh, okay. Well, just sell it to somebody else when it comes in. So, you know, some features like that are non-negotiable. Most of these features on here on my list are somewhat negotiable unless I'm going to drive it for a long time. And I'll go over that here in just a second. Okay, I am back. I'm going to enlighten you on the features that I think that you ought to insist upon when you're buying a new vehicle, whether it be a car or a truck. You know, some of these features don't apply to passenger cars. Some of them, it would be really weird if you actually had that on a car. But I really believe that these are my favorite features on car. Now, I'm not talking about engines or transmissions. You know, I like the roar of a V8, obviously. But I like the smoothness of some of these new four-cylinder engines. I remember when the four-cylinder was not smooth and definitely not powerful. I think my 1974 Chevy Vega Camback GT had like 94 horsepower. We sell a four-cylinder engine in the Mustang, and it has over 300 horsepower. So how did they do that? Well, we'll get into that later, but the main thing I want to talk about is some of these features. And so let's go with number 10. Let's start with number 10 because these aren't really in order of importance. They're just in order that I thought of them, but I'm going to start with 10 because my number one is always the same, and I'll give it to you. Number 10 for me are all-weather floor mats. Now, when I was first in the car business, we just had carpet. And we had rubber floor mats that went on top of the carpet. Do you remember that? Well, then a lot of folks said, well, I'd like to have carpeted mats on top of my carpet. I don't like the feel of rubber on my feet. And, you know, I'm not worried about dirt and stuff like that. So they started making carpeted floor mats. Well, then there were no rubber floor mats. The manufacturer said, well, so many people want carpet floor mats that there's no sense making rubber floor mats anymore and putting them in cars. So what they did is they made it rubber floor mats an accessory. But they were just flat. You know, they adhered to the floor. Now, these new all-weather mats, especially the ones from WeatherTech, I'm a big fan of WeatherTech. Now, Ford and General Motors and Chrysler and so forth, they've come up with some semi-competitive mats. Theirs are probably thicker than WeatherTech, but WeatherTech's are better. And everything that I buy or every demo that I take, if I'm driving a car that's for resale, I am putting the WeatherTech mats in because they'll hold a bunch of water, you know, if you do spill something on the floor, and they're wonderful. So anyway, that's number 10. Number 9, remote start and keyless entry. You know, I don't like what we have to tell customers when they lose their key fob because it can be shocking. You know, a key fob can be anywhere from $300 to $700 for a replacement key fob. Now, the ones for domestic cars aren't near as expensive as they are for, you know, high-end foreigners. But the remote start has been great. I mean, when it's cold outside, I park my vehicles outside. My wife gets inside parking. So anyway, mine's sitting out there in the snow, and I just hit the button. I don't even have to look outside because my key fob tells me if the car received the signal and has started. I get a green light. If I get a red light, I have to do it again, go through the sequence again. I like being able to walk up to my F-150 too. As soon as I'm getting close to my F-150 and I've got the key fob in my pocket, it welcomes me with, at night, all the lights come on. Isn't that nice? And then during the daytime, just the power running boards fold out, say, welcome back, Lenny. I like that. So that's my 9th favorite feature. Number 8, heated seats and steering wheels. This would not have mattered to me 30 years ago, but I'm getting ready to turn 66, and I like my buns warm. That's all I can say. Can you say that on the radio? Okay, good. I like my hands warm, too. You know, I didn't really think that a heated steering wheel was necessary. When I first heard that that feature was coming, I said, what? Who needs a heated steering wheel? I do. I really do like that feature. If you have the opportunity to buy a car and you got a little extra money to spend on what typically it's part of a cold climate package, definitely get a heated steering wheel. You know, when my hands are warm, I feel warm all over. That's just me. Number 7, dynamic cruise control or adaptive cruise control. It's called several different things. To me, that is a great feature. It keeps you from having to turn your cruise on and off all the time. And I have, at first, it was a little disconcerting because I don't think the sensors were working as good as they should. You can set different ranges. So if you want the closest proximity to the car in front of you, then you can set it on one bar. Four bars will put you, you know, like 100 yards back behind the car, and it will actually slow you down to and match the speed of the vehicle in front of you. And then when you pull out, it will accelerate back up to the speed as long as it doesn't see any obstacles in the way. I think that's a great feature. My wife refuses to use it to this day. She just does not like that feeling of the car accelerating on its own. And so I get that. You know, everybody's not going to use the features. Like, she likes the massaging seats and I don't. I think it's just weird. So, but we are different. Even though we have been together all these years, I never have been able to figure out how to. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, number 6, satellite navigation. That has been a game changer for me. Not that I wasn't good with maps and so forth, but it's just so nice to be able to put in a location and get semi-accurate directions. I say semi-accurate because sometimes Google will send you on a wild goose chase. Sometimes the straightest line or the shortest distance between two points is a very curvaceous line through all kinds of different neighborhoods and places you didn't need to go. That's my only downside of it. But when I'm in downtown, a big city or something, it's great. It's pretty accurate. And you know this. This feature is going away, though. I know. But it is. It's not going to be a standard feature of your car maker anymore. They're eliminating it. Do you know why? It's because most people have smartphones, and if you have Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, or you can just, well, I guess you'd have to have one of those for the satellite navigation to work, or you can just stick one of those ugly sticker things on your top of your dash or your windshield and put it up there. You know, why invest the money in extra computer chips when everybody's carrying around their navigation? So, but that's been a great feature. I've enjoyed that. Number five on my list, you wouldn't do this on a car because cars don't have pickup truck beds, but spray-in bed liners. It's changed my life. You know, one of the things that I never could get used to was like a brand new truck throwing concrete blocks in the back of it. Right, you know, no scratches on the paint. The paint looks just as good as the outside. I mean, that's just what happened for years and years and years. And then somebody said, what about a rubber mat to go in the floor of the bed? And so that became popular. And then somebody figured out how to put some kind of a, dent-resistant feature into paint. You know, it started off along the bottom sides of cars where they would have this dent-resistant or chip-resistant paint to go on the bottom. And somebody said, wait a minute, we could use this in a bed of a truck. And so you have Line-X and Rhino linings and stuff like that, and they are wonderful. If you buy a truck without that, you shouldn't. Also, a lot of the manufacturers are doing it from the factory, and I think that's preferable if you can order it. If it is available. Sometimes that goes on constraint because they run out of the stuff. But you can get that on, doesn't matter, Silverado, Ram, Nissan, Frontier, whatever. You can order it from the factory, and that's the way to go. But, that's made trucks much more usable for me. Number four on my list, as I've already mentioned it, is Apple CarPlay. Now, Android Auto, I'm not an Android user, but Apple CarPlay is super duper. If you don't have that on your car and you can't use it, you have my sympathies. But you can actually buy an aftermarket radio. I know we have a excellent sound system store in our town. They do a lot of other things too, alarm systems and tinted windows and stuff. But they can install an aftermarket radio where your radio is that doesn't have a lot of features, and it can even have a backup camera if your car doesn't have a backup camera. If your car does not have navigation, it'll have that too. I bought one for my 49 truck project, if I ever get it done, my car hauler. It's going to have a big Kenwood screen there that I'll be able to do just about everything and be able to use my Apple CarPlay because I do listen to a lot of podcasts. No, I don't listen to my own podcast, but I do listen to, I won't get into the list because some of you might think I'm conservative or something. So I just won't go there. This is an apolitical radio show. Okay, so third favorite feature, auto-dimming headlights. You know, as bright as headlights are these days, you can do some retinal damage to some passing cars if you're not careful. Even when I have my lights on dim, all these people will flash their lights at me. I said, I'm sorry, they're already on dim. Then I just put it on bright real quickly so they can say, oh, yeah, they are on dim. So it is a nice feature. Sometimes it gets a little frustrating because you have to set that feature in your car. So if you're driving a Ford, for example, you have to put it, you know, like you bright your lights and then you hit it again and it will put it on the auto feature. If you're not using that, it's a feature that you should, if you want to find out if your car has it, I guess you go to your owner's manual, but it's a great feature and it keeps you from blinding oncoming traffic at night. And then you're not always dimming and undimming your lights. It's very accurate with the new sensors that they have. And then, number two, another automatic feature that I really like, probably takes a few computer chips, are the automatic windshield wipers. Now, I was driving to Knoxville yesterday. I had to haul something to my mother-in-law's house in Lenore City, just beyond Knoxville. And it was drizzling rain, and then it was raining hard, and then it would go light, and then it would no rain at all. And I remember when all you had was on or slow or fast, you know, and that was it for windshield wipers. And then they came with a interval wiper where it would go like every 5 seconds or so. And then they figured out, wait a minute, let's make it as variable intervals. So then you had a full intermittent, you could change the speed. Well, my windshield wipers now will just sense rain. Now they use cameras to do that, sensors of some kind, and it just says, wait a minute, there's 14 dots of water on Lenny's windshield. Let's just go once. Okay, it's raining a little bit harder. Let's go like every 5 seconds. And it just automatically does that. And I just love that feature. I guess that's why it is number two on my list. Okay, I'm going to take my last break, and we will, I guess I'll reveal the number one favorite feature on all vehicles, because you could have this on a car, a truck. I even have them on my side-by-side. I'll be back in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. I don't think there's any need for a drum roll here. I'm just going to pause, though, and let the excitement build. No, my number one favorite feature on a car or a truck or an SUV or a side-by-side are cup holders. Yes, and if you've listened to this radio show at any time over the last 25 years, I've said that before, and I still believe in it. Cup holders are great. I was driving my wife's Nissan Frontier. Well, that was when we went on that trip to Knoxville and Lenore City yesterday. And we both stopped. We stopped at Pal's, which is our favorite fast food place, and got us a big 32-ounce styrofoam cup full of unsweetened tea with lemon. And it'll hold it. Now, I have a big problem with cars that have small cup holders. Most of them have learned their lesson by now, that gigantic cup holders are necessary for top customer satisfaction scores. Wouldn't you agree? Should people be drinking and driving at the same time? Well, it depends on what you're drinking. I get that. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff goes on in a car when it's hurtling down the road at 80 miles an hour. Speaking of that, I was blown away, literally. I was pulling a trailer to Lenore City, and I was averaging probably, had set the cruise at 72 miles an hour. It just felt comfortable with the trailer that was behind me. I mean, it was like I was sitting still. I mean, I just can't believe the speed that people use on the interstate. The other thing I can't believe is how closely they follow each other. The tailgating that's going on is crazy. They must not have been paying attention in driver's ed class. You know, the rule is that they're supposed to have one car length for every 10 miles per hour. So if you're going 70, that's seven car lengths. What's the purpose of that rule? Because a lot of people think that, well, you know, if you're going really fast, you want to go faster, you want to get really close behind a car, and then you're drafting and you'll get better fuel economy. No, that's NASCAR. That is not driving down Interstate 81 and Interstate 40. That does not apply, but a lot of people think it does. No, the reason that they want you that far behind a vehicle going 70 miles an hour is so that you can stop if they hit their brakes. And plus, you won't be irritating them. You won't be making their day miserable because you are so close to them that they can't even see your headlights, you know, in their rearview mirror. That's too close, folks. We need to be more conscious of that. And then you have these guys that say, well, I'll show him. And then they slam on the brakes or they'll just lightly touch the brakes. And then that starts a road rage incident. And they end up in the parking lot at Bucky's throwing fist cuffs at each other, and that's just not good. By the way, the Bucky's is getting ready to open in a not-too-distant future. It'll be the largest Bucky's. Now, if you're not from Texas or the Southeast, maybe up into Kentucky, you may not know what a Bucky's is, but it's the biggest. I guess you could call it a 7-Eleven on super steroids, like the Super Walmart of 7-Elevens. Yeah, it's big, and they have brisket, and they have, jerky. Yeah, they have a jerky bar. Yeah, you would expect to go. You're not going to find any fruit in a Bucky's. It's a meat fest for sure. I think they do have apple pie. They have different pies too. Just nothing but stuff that's just really healthy for you. They also have deer food and a lot of souvenirs that say Bucky's on it. And boy, they're selling. I bought Bucky's blankets for my grandkids. They love them. But the thing that impressed me about Bucky's the most was basically the cleanest bathrooms I've ever seen. With that much volume of people going in there and doing their business, you just can't believe how they even display artwork in their bathrooms. And that artwork is for sale, by the way. So it's pretty phenomenal. So how did I get off on Bucky's? Oh, yeah, the road rage incident. So we hope that won't happen. But, yeah, Bucky's is going to be something else. I told my wife I think it's going to be the number one attraction from the interstate all the way through Sevierville into Pigeon Forge and including Gatlinburg. Yes, I think it will even exceed Dollywood. Every Bucky's I've been to has been jam-packed, except one thing you will not see at a Bucky's. You will not see heavy-duty trucks. They are not allowed. I wonder if they're going to have charging stations for all of those early adopters who decide to go all electric. I did talk to a gentleman from the Tennessee Valley Authority. They are working with the state of Tennessee. They're going to have charging stations for you every 50 miles on major thoroughfares in the state. It'll take a couple years for them to get them all installed. And then hopefully they're going to open up some funding packages for private businesses because, folks, these things are expensive. Hopefully, just like normal technology, prices typically go down over time. And I certainly hope that's the case with these. They told me that initially at our Ford meeting, they told us that our DC chargers that we were supposed to put in, that's a direct current, 120 kilowatt chargers were going to cost approximately $480,000. I said, what? And then we've done some research, though, and actual cost is going to be closer to $200,000, still a lot of money. There are some subsidies out there. You can get $30,000 right now from the federal government. That doesn't put a big dent on 200 and some thousand. I'm hoping for more than that. If they would pass on the savings or the assistance that they're giving to utilities through the government, then we could get up to $130,000 for one charger. Now, that's more like it. So hopefully they'll do that. If you have any questions about your car or truck or some type of service issue or body shop accident or what kind of paint to put on your car, or you know, if you are thinking about buying a car and you don't know what your car's worth or what your credit's like, I can even help you with that. I can actually pull credit and do that kind of stuff if you have any questions. So just give me a call, 423-552-2020, or send me a text, or send it to mycarguru2020@gmail.com. Send me your questions. I'll answer them on the air. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.